Hey, everybody. This week, we're going to talk about retiring to Orlando. Coming up next on this week's episode of the Moving to Orlando show. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show, coming to you from the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined, as always, by real estate agent, Mr. Sean Falk.
Hi.
And not real estate agent, Mr. Corey Fiascanaro.
Welcome.
So, I was going to say something about the process of you buying a home. You might as well have been a real estate agent. Never mind. welcome, folks. Welcome to the show. Just a quick reminder, please, if you're watching us on the Diz Unplugged channel, that's awesome. But please also head over to youtube.com/movingtoorlando. These shows go up there as well, but we also put a lot of other content up there that does not show up on the Diz Unplugged. So please go ahead, like and subscribe here on Diz Unplugged, then go over there and like and subscribe there, or vice versa. If you're watching us on Moving to Orlando, head over to the Diz Unplugged, some great Disney content over there. Also, if you have questions about moving to the Orlando area, Sean, S-E-A-N, at movingtoorlando.com is where you should send your email, and Sean can help you out.
Yep.
So, this week, we get a lot of questions about 55 and up communities, and we are going to be doing shows on that. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to start out by just kind of talking about the broader topic of retiring in Orlando. And Sean's done quite a bit of research. It's, as somebody who is in the age group, the 55 and up age group, I'm 55, just to be clear. I think I'm unusual maybe in some regards that, I have no interest in a 55 and up community. I don't know why anybody would personally. Not that there's anything wrong with them. It's just, I don't want to upset anybody, but no, okay, I won't say that because I will upset people. I don't know. It's just not a consideration for me.
I will say when I was first looking at homes and my budget was a little bit lower back in the day, back in Massachusetts, every time I'd find the best looking home in my price range, I'd get excited. I'd be like, oh, this looks great. And then I'd find out that it was in a 55 up community. So I just found that it seemed like the homes looked more well kept for a lower price point. And for reference, it was around $215,000 in Massachusetts. That doesn't get you a lot, but all the really nice places I found at that price point were 55 up homes.
And don't get me wrong, there's some beautiful communities here, but I love the work I do. Look what I get to do for a living. I have no intention of ever retiring. I don't think in those terms.
Well, it's funny because you're actually not in the minority. You're vastly in the majority.
Really?
Within your age group. So yeah, so we're kind of, and that's really how this happened. So early on, this was going to be a 55 and up, and I promise we're going to do some. I've wanted to do research to figure out if there's a broad spectrum between 55 and 95. And so how does that marry in together in some of these communities? And I want to go in person and do more research on that before we delve into that specific stuff, because I don't want to send people to the wrong places. So that's how this started, looking for 55 and up communities and doing lots of research. I'm actually in some classes right now, getting certified in some special certifications for working with people who are over 50 that want to buy homes, because there are a lot of differences. So the different generational gaps are the silent generation, baby boomers, and then Generation X is up and coming to be 55 and up. So those are kind of the categories. the silent generation, which was World War II, Great Depression, they tend to skew more towards these 55 and up communities. It's more communal. They tend to like being around people that are in the same age group as themselves. Baby boomers are not like that for the most part. They tend to be more adventurous. They tend to want to go out and experience more stuff. And also you have to consider being 55 is not the same as being 50 now isn't the same as it was 50 years ago. And you know, for you, you're 55. My mom's 58. She's not going to go live in a 55 and up community. Like, even when I mentioned it to her, she was like, I don't know. She was like, maybe, but like, why? I don't need to do that because it's associated with being old.
Right.
To a lot
of people. And that's it for me. That's the disconnect, is that, you know, I hear 55 and up community and I think, you know, retirement community.
Right.
And, you know, while physically I may be 55, I don't feel 55. I don't think I act. I don't know what acting 55 is.
I don't think 55 is what 55 was originally when people talked about it. And so even looking back as far as we get into these things of Social Security and stuff that you don't think about that's up and coming, when you're 55, you're getting closer to that age range. And when Social Security was put into place in the 1930s, the average person only lived to 59 years old in the United States. The average person did not live long enough to get their Social Security. People now live to be 80 almost as the average, like 79, 80 is the average in the United States. So people are living longer and they're not retiring the way they did at one point. Being 55 doesn't mean you're even close to retiring. There's people who start whole new careers in their 50s.
Hi.
So, yeah, I mean, so it's not the same thing. And so I really wanted to delve into that for people who, we do get asked about 55 and up communities a lot, but a lot of people don't want to do that. So I kind of wanted to go over some pros and cons-ish here. Not even cons, just pros of each option. So 55 and up communities, the number one crime, according to the Department of Justice, against people who are over 50 years old takes place in their home. That's going to be like robberies, break-ins, that kind of stuff. So that's the typical thing. So being in a 55 and up community can offer a sense of safety and security in that because it's usually a little more secure. There's usually...
Well, so will a shotgun.
Yeah, but it's usually... We have stand your ground stuff here. So, you know, even in areas like Point Siana, Sola Vida is there. And I hear from people a lot, it's not my opinion, that they don't like Point Siana with the exception of Sola Vida because it's walled and gated, and the people who live there seem to be very happy in it. And that's one of the main reasons. And one of the other major factors in it is having that sense of community. If you want to be around people that are your own age group and activity level, not even just your age group, but the same thing, maybe they're empty nesters, maybe they are going to retire, maybe they've had a spouse that died, any of these types of things that are all in that state, they can relate and are in the same point in life as you are or as other people are. And there are also people who just use it as like a snowbird type situation where they buy their second home here just to be able to keep it. And and also there is no nursing care in these. I got asked about that. There isn't nurses on site or anything.
Right.
This is just a housing community.
Right. 55 and up is very different than assisted living.
Right.
So we're not talking about assisted living. That's a whole nother topic.
So a couple of things that kind of go against and maybe reason somebody might not want to do a 55 and up community specifically. If you're somebody who cares a lot about diversity, or maybe if you're LGBT, that might be less appealing to you to do. There's a lot of people who are LGBT that aren't as would be more comfortable being openly gay in another community that maybe skewed a bit younger, just because it's more accepted in younger generations. A lot of people in baby boomer and silent generations spent a lot more time in the closet than you have to now at this point, because it just wasn't as accepted. And also with diversity, it comes up a lot for us. They do tend to skew less diverse than other areas, just because a lot of people who are at this retiring age or 55 and up, you have to consider at those times, people of color weren't making as much money to be putting into Social Security and putting into retirement and these other things. So if that's important to you, then that might be something to factor in as well. Another reason could be because of the age of your spouse. So if you're over 55, you could live in the community. But if you have a much younger spouse, and like my parents were that way, they were 13 years apart. And so what happens is with these communities, legally speaking, you have two options with a 55 and up community. Either everyone in it has to be over 62, or everyone has to be over 50. 80% of the community has to have somebody over 55 in the home. And then from that point, they can make whatever rules they want to. So that's the typical is... somebody in each household has to be over 55, but they could also set the rule that your spouse also has to be over 40, or you can't have any kids in the home that are under 18. So it's up to each community to decide what they want to do as those parameters. So if you have a situation like that, that's very important to figure out. And it's very important in the baby boomer generation because they're what's known as a sandwich generation, and which like Pete would be a good example of that. He still has living parents. Well, your mom is still living and you're helping her still. Mm-hmm. But were he to have children, they would be at an age that he may also be having to help adult children too, who may have their own kids. And there's a lot of grandparents who have to take care of their grandchildren. And a lot of these situations that just won't work for you in a 55 and up community. And your family can come visit, of course, but they are limited to how long they can visit. It's usually between 2 weeks and 4 weeks at a time because, you know, there's not as much freedom necessarily to just say, hey, like family, come down and pick up and come stay with me. Or, you know, oh, my adult son lost his job. You can't necessarily just open your house to that person to come say, hey, come stay.
Now, is this generally true of most of these communities, or is it, does it?
Yeah, it varies, but I mean, that is the general rule of thumb. There are rules set in place that you need to abide by, and that's usually a part of it. And people do ask a lot about buying in a 55 and up community if you're not 55. You can purchase a home in a 55 and up community if you're not 55. You just can't live in it. So that's the thing. So if you want to buy it as an investment property for yourself in a couple of years to move into, you can do that. You just can't live in it yet. But you could rent it out to people who are 55. So the occupant has to be 55, not the owner necessarily. And that's where that 80-20 rule comes in, where 80% of the community needs to be 55 and up. The other 20% is not, hey, we're going to advertise and just sell to people necessarily that are under 55. It's mainly to help, like, if, you know, like my dad just passed last year and he was 69. If I was his caretaker and I was the person living with him, I could have lived with him to help him and be his caretaker. Once he died, that would protect me from getting thrown out of that house because that 20% bubble is there to let me continue to live in that home because now I own it and I was already living there before, like with the person who was 55 who passed away. So that's kind of your safety net of like, hey, I can't just throw people out of houses because, you know, the person who was over 55 died. And I think that's something to take into consideration when you're wanting to purchase one of these homes. Also, who you're leaving the house to. As I just said, my dad was 69 when he died. I'm still in my 20s. If I inherited that house, I now have a house that I've inherited that I can't use for another 25 years. So if you waited until you were older to have kids, that might be something you'd want to consider is if you were to pass, what age would they be to get this inheritance from you to be able to use it? And are they just going to have to turn around and sell it? Or what are you leaving your family with? And The other options maybe for not living in a community like this is there are such things, they're commonly called naturally occurring retirement communities. And these are places that are not exclusively 55 and up. They've just over time have become 55 and up. And not exclusively, but some of those areas are maybe like Dr. Phillips here. It tends to skew a bit older generationally, and that's because a lot of these homes were built in the 70s and 80s. People, affluent people bought them at the time, and then they've just stayed in them forever. So the houses just kind of stay in the same family. I also included Pete's area up here in that same group. A lot of the people bought their homes and there's not as much turnover in houses here.
Yeah, well, this, you know, my community, I'm in the Conway area. Mm-hmm. This area really was built in the early late 50s, early 60s. So a lot of these houses are from that era. Like I can tell you the vast majority of the people on my block bought here, mm-hmm, like 40, 50 years ago.
Yep.
And it has just gone from, you know, from generation to generation. They just get handed down. Mm-hmm. You don't see houses go up for sale here very often.
Right.
Very, very few. That's because they're awesome houses.
Yeah.
So it's harder to find houses here.
Yeah. So if you're somebody who doesn't want to live in a necessarily in a 55 and up community, but you still want to be around people of your same age group, there are options. You can't specifically say, oh, I must be with people this age group. But there are communities that have kind of become over time, compared to places like Claremont, which skew a lot younger. Horizon West skews a lot younger. But that's something I wanted to address, too, in the future. Places like Horizon West and Celebration are very quickly becoming naturally occurring retirement communities because people who are getting homes in Celebration, they're keeping them longer than the average. And people in Horizon West have full intentions of buying the homes there, raising their families, raising children, and being in them for longer times. And this, a lot of the people moving in are all around the same age group right now. So 30 years from now, they'll still be in that same age group of the people who choose to continue to live in that area. So it's like a weird over time. So you can get into a situation like that depending on your age group.
Yeah, I never even thought about it. But now, you know, now that you mention it, you know, I'm thinking about my neighbors. I'm like, yep, yeah, okay, yep. There's a couple around here that are, a couple of houses here where the owners are a little younger, mm-hmm, but generally speaking, yeah, you're my age and up.
Yeah. And a big chunk of it has to do with, speaking of retirement, obviously you don't have to fully retire. A lot of people just want to part-time retire where they're like, you know, I'm leaving my main corporate job, but I want to do something. And obviously Disney is a perfect solution set up. There's a ton of people that's what they do. They come here, they work part-time, you know, merch at the Contemporary Hotel or, you know, part-time waiting tables or whatever they feel like doing in the area. And typically when people fully retire, 30% of them go back to work after 6 years of retirement. So that tends to be the trend. So about 1 in 3 people who retire will unretire after 6 years. And some of that's because of they're just kind of bored and like that was fun for a bit to be off, but now they're ready to do something. And a big chunk of that's come from what happened with the dot-com bubble bursting and the 2007-2008 Great Recession starting. And it's something that I've always thought about as affecting me and like my generation, because I had to go start finding work as soon as this happened, because that's the age I was. But for people at the dot-com burst and the, you know, the Great Recession who
wiped were
in
out a lot of
late 30s going through their 40s, that range, this was your main working time period, and it wiped out people's 401ks and a lot of people's retirement plans, and it may have delayed your plans to retire.
I think there's a lot of people in that, mm-hmm, in that category, especially after 08. You were if you were 55 in 08, you're still working
because you lost a lot of the things you planned on using as far as retirement goes. And this was a pretty surprising statistic from my class. over 10 million people over 50 are paying for their children's college tuitions at this point. So because their kids can't afford it on their own, they had to pay for their kid to go to college, and they still owe that money at this point. And so that's delayed a lot of people being able to retire as well, having to keep up with their kids' college tuitions because the kids can't afford them themselves.
Another perk of being gay.
Yeah. So it's, I think a few things to consider is whether you want to upsize or downsize. And a lot of people just think of it as, oh, like we're moving to Florida, so we're empty nesters now, let's downsize. But, you know, I just had a house close last month where, you know, I was talking to the couple and they're retiring. He's retiring next year. And so they went in and bought their house now and they got a 5-bedroom. I didn't argue it. I was like, okay, it's just the two of them. They want a 5-bedroom house. Cool. And when we started speaking more on it, this was actually an upsize home for them in terms of bedrooms. And they're like, we have 4 kids. They all have grandkids at this point, and we want them to be able to come and stay and be comfortable. And so typically, if you're moving down between the age of 50 and 65, people tend to upsize from their current house because their kids are at a point of having grandkids and they want the space in the room. Then around 65, they downsize because now the grandkids have gotten a little older and they're not as interested in coming, or they've been coming so many years, the newness of going to visit like grandma and grandpa in Florida is worn off. And so that kind of plays into it a bit. And there's just a lot to consider as far as how you're going to get here, what your plans are, whether you want to retire, semi-retire, upsize, downsize, and similar to what we did with an earlier video on planning your home search and how to start your home search. I feel like this is a good way of thinking, how do I start my retirement home search, or my moving to Florida home search when I'm over 50 or over 55 years old? Because what you need right now might not be what you'll need years from now. And if this is your final move where you're like, I know I'm going to Florida, this is it, this is where I'm going to live the rest of my life, and I want that home to be that home, you may want to think as you're going through it, what things could come up. Like, do I want a house with stairs? At 55, you can easily climb stairs, but maybe at 75, you wouldn't easily be able to go up. Wouldn't be
one of those chairs that go up the stairs. It's,
yeah.
I want to buy a 2-story house just so I can have that put in and use that to go up the stairs so I don't have to walk.
Right. So,
better yet, we saw like some of those houses in Reunion. The 3-story that had elevators in them.
Yeah. So you just have the elevator right there. But, you know, it's stuff to consider as you're going into that. Like, hey, maybe right now, but maybe within 10 years, maybe situations would be different. And, you know, my dad, he got diagnosed with cancer at 65. Up until that point, he was like the most fit person I knew. And once he went down, that was it. And it changed everything about, you know, what he needed, because he suddenly needed like all this equipment and all this stuff, like through radiation and through all these things that like you didn't count on beforehand. And it just changed very quickly, like what those things were. So it's a good idea to have it in the back of your mind. Like, hey, what precautions do I need to have in my head? What things might I need to set up just in case something happens? And also, a lot of people talk about moving here and they want to sell their home. Their intention is to sell their current house and use the money to pay off the house in full that they're moving into. But they're worried about it. And just in case, like, you know, what if they lost their job, or once they get on Social Security, are they going to be in too fixed of an income? And maybe they should save some of that money and get a little bit lower cost in a home. But there is always the option to do a reverse mortgage at some point, whether it's at the beginning of your move and you want just like a lump sum payout through a reverse mortgage, or if you want to wait until something actually comes up as a problem, and then you need a little bit of money so you can get that equity out of whatever primary residence you're using, whether it's your one here in Florida or back wherever you live now, and if you're going to keep that. So there's a lot of options. There's a lot of things to consider. And, you know, I just was like, I hate to jump into a 55 and up communities video when I don't necessarily, it's not that like cut and dry of it as we started doing research and as we kind of looked into it, and especially knowing that the majority of people around 55 actually have no interest yet in moving to a community like this because they don't feel the need. So,
yeah, I mean, that's certainly where I am. Like, if I was to consider moving, I don't think I would have a 55 and up community on my list of things to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, if the house, if I fell in love with a house, and it just so happened that it was in a 55 and up community. All right.
Yeah. And I mean, it's something to, statistically speaking, people who are turning 55 now in the baby boomer generation are significantly less healthy than people who were turning 55 in the previous several generations. Really, that life expectancy jump comes from penicillin a lot, like just the invention of a lot of these things that help keep people alive and just, you know, upped the overall life expectancy through medications and everything. But as far as actual health goes and all that, people in the baby boomer generation are way more likely to have high blood pressure way earlier, diabetes, heart attacks, all these kinds of things compared to people in the their parents' generation and all that. So it's something to take into account too, that like people just do tend to get sicker earlier, even with advanced medication. So
okay, happy fun guy.
Sorry. You just got to consider everything whenever you want to make that choice and make that decision about it. So even having to think in your head about like my kid and being very honest with yourself, like, will I need in a couple of years a place for my child to go? Or if they have their own kids, are they going to need to come stay at my house and bring their kids with them? And is that something I want to do? Or, I mean, I guess you could get a 55 and up community and then have an excuse and be like, no, like you can't come live here because legally you can't move in. But it's something to consider. And I want to make sure that people think that through before they're just like, yep, I'm 55 and I'm just going to move into one and let's see how it goes. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of information.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, folks, that is going to do it for our show for this week. Once again, if you are interested in moving to the Orlando area, please reach out, head over to our website, movingtoorlando.com, or reach out to Sean, S-E-A-N, at movingtoorlando.com, and he'll be more than happy to help you. So that'll do it. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next week.